All right, welcome to another special episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. But today on the show, it's another special look back at 2020, and this is something we've never actually done before here on Piecing It Together. We always do our special, you know, best of the year, top 10 list, all that kind of stuff, Oscar predictions, all those kind of things. But we've never done an episode dedicated just to looking at documentaries, and specifically the top 5 best documentaries of a year. And that's what we're doing today. Joining me is Jason Harris, who you just recently heard on our top 10 feature films episode, and of course on a bunch of other episodes, and on Awesome Movie Year, his podcast that I produce. But we are going to talk about a bunch of documentaries. We've got 2 great lists that we go back and forth on. We talk about a lot of great films. So, you know, hopefully in the future we'll be able to do more documentary coverage because of the many great movies that come out each year, a lot of them are documentaries, so there's no reason not to. You know, in the past, I've kind of shied away from covering documentaries because of our whole puzzle pieces format, and, you know, to look at a movie through the lens of what other movies inspired it, it's kind of a little tough with documentaries, but there's lots of great documentaries every year, so maybe we will. But for today, we're going to talk about the best documentaries of 2020. So, as always, I want to remind you to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. Follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. And join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. So, let's get into this conversation about the top 5 documentaries of 2020. All right, Jason Harris is back with us to talk about documentaries. Jason, how's it going?
Dave, I am well. The year is almost over. The vaccine is allegedly kind of here somewhat, right? Mm-hmm. I'm ready for it. 5G me up, baby.
Hey, you know what?
Whatever.
You know what, though? This episode, when it airs, will be 2021.
That's exciting. Joe Biden will be president. And while we have no political affiliation officially on this show, we hate Donald Trump.
There you go.
Happy New Year, Dave.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This is something we haven't done before. We always do our top 10 list like we did last week. We've done various other top 10s and other rankings and stuff like that. We've never done a best documentaries. Documentaries aren't something that we typically cover here on Piecing It Together just because it can be kind of hard to look at a documentary through that lens of things being inspired by other things, like other movies and stuff like that. But for a ranking, we could sure do it. So that's nice and easy.
Well, yeah, you know, I've been nudging you all year.
You have.
For documentary episodes. You know, there are some where I thought we could do a Piecing It Together on. But since we haven't done that, maybe we'll do that in the coming year. But I definitely am happy that we're doing a top documentary list. We're going to do 5 each, right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct. 5.
Well, here's what I was thinking, Dave. I wanted to throw a little curveball at you.
Oh, okay.
On the last episode on the top narratives, I went first and we did have some crossover. Since we only have 5 each, I think, and I've seen more documentaries than you, you should go first. And if I have that one on my list, then I will tell you where, I will comment on it, but then in its place, I will put the next one down on my list. So whether it's 6 or 8 or whatever like that, so we can get a little more, a few more documentaries out there, a few more names out there.
Beautiful. I like it. That is, this is an ever evolving top 5 list for you. I like that. That's
I have the top 5. I have my 3 documentary moments ready to go. So let's do it, baby.
All right. So I am going to go with number 5, which is, now, before I say it, I will preface it by saying that on Awesome Movie Year this season, 1984, we learned, maybe for those that didn't know, that a concert film technically counts as a documentary, as it did with our documentary pick for 1984, Stop Making Sense. And my number 5 is American Utopia, also David Byrne, directed by Spike Lee, and just an incredibly just joyous fun movie, you know, not a documentary in the traditional sense, but it absolutely captures what this show must have been like that I obviously did not get to see. But the music is fantastic. All the new music is great. The classic Talking Heads songs that are brought into it are excellent. I think you and I talked a little bit that we even liked it a little more possibly than Stop Making Sense, which is considered like the best concert film ever. I just think Spike Lee brings such a great energy to it, and it's just so infectious and so much fun. And for such a weird year as 2020, it was great to have that much fun watching something.
Yeah, a lot of people have this on their overall top 10s. I've seen it at number one in places and various spots throughout the top 10. I like it a good amount more than I like Stop Making Sense. And it's interesting that Spike Lee and David Byrne team together because they're both so, as I like to say, having their moments again. But they never really stopped having their moments. They have long, you know, great careers. They're just finding new audiences now, which I love to see, right? Sure. One thing I like better about this than about Stop Making Sense is in Stop Making Sense, it's just a set list straight through. That's cool. But this one, Byrne is connecting pieces through dialogue, and he's a whimsical storyteller, very dry, very witty. I agree with you, Spike Lee, again, just taking some wild chances with the camera work, and it's good. It's, yeah, as far as like an in-concert movie, you know, it's the best one of those this year, I'd say. So
awesome.
I think it's a good pick, Dave.
Awesome, awesome. Well, what do you got for your number five?
Number five is the last documentary I watched before recording this, actually. It's called Time. It's by Garrett Bradley. I think it's in association with the New York Times. And she is an amazing filmmaker. I'm excited to see what she does next. It follows the story of Sybil Fox Richardson and her husband, Rob. They robbed a bank, and they both went to jail. This is in Louisiana. She took a plea bargain. He didn't. One of the faults of the film is finding out why didn't he take a plea bargain? But these are two young black people who went and served their jail time. She got out in 3.5 years. He's scheduled to serve 60 years. So It's about her fight to get him out. But she also took a number of home movies, like hundreds of hours or 100 hours of home movies over the years, for herself, for posterity, for her husband who was in jail. She's raising at least 4 kids on her own, maybe more. And, you know, it's all about her and her fight to get her husband out, and what a good job you can tell she's doing raising these kids. And the other element of it that I wanted to mention with all these kind of home movie things is Bradley does this amazing job putting these emotional montages together that give you a real feeling, because it jumps time periods throughout, just a real feeling of the ups and downs, the joys and horrors of, you know, love and trying to love and get someone out of the penal system, especially a minority in the United States. I can't recommend it enough. It's 82 minutes. Every minute counts in this one.
Well, it sounds great. I've heard good things about it, and I hadn't gotten a chance to watch it. It was on my list of things I was trying to get to, but yeah, it sounds great. Sounds like a really good story. I'll move on to number four, and this one is called Insert Coin. It's from Joshua Tsui. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but technically, I wouldn't say this is like the most envelope-pushing documentary or particularly well-made or anything like that, but it's on a subject that's just really close to my heart, and so it was just awesome to see that subject explored in a way that I had never really gotten a chance to see before. And that subject is the Midway and Bally's video games of the early 90s into the mid-90s. I should say not video games, arcade games specifically, from the early 90s, like Smash TV and NARC to then into Mortal Kombat and NBA Jam. These are like the games that, and we grew up the same time, these are the games that we spent just hours and hours at the mall just pumping quarters into and just spending insane amounts of money on. And they're just like kind of the backbone to the arcade experience, which much like my beloved movie theaters is pretty much dying. Well, arcades are already gone, but movie theaters are dying now. But I, you know, certainly have my memories of arcades. Are just my favorite memories of growing up are spent in arcades playing these particular games. The one thing that's missing is any access to Ed Boon for some reason, who was one of the main co-creators of Mortal Kombat and a big presence at Midway. For whatever reason, they weren't able to get to him, but they did get to Scott Tobias and a lot of the other major players that were a part of making those games back then. So, yeah, it's just total nostalgia overload for someone like me who grew up in those arcades.
Yeah, that sounds super interesting. I don't know that one, but I like the sound of it, and I like movies like that and documentaries like that. As you know, in our second season of Awesome Movie, our documentary pick was The King of Kong, yeah, which kind of goes deep into that arcade culture. I definitely grew up playing arcade games, NBA Jam, namely, and skee-ball, a lot of skee-ball. So I would like to see this. Also, it... there's a weird narrative film called Ping Pong Summer. Huh. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I recommend that. A lot of it takes place in an arcade around that time.
Nice.
So insert coin. Good pick. I'm looking forward to that, Dave.
Right on. What do you got for your number four?
Number four for me, Dave, is... So look, there was a lot of hype on The Last Dance, the 10-part Michael Jordan documentary, which had like all the footage of his last, you know, run with the Bulls and kind of first person interviews. And it was like 10 hours long, but guess what? I didn't even think it was the best basketball documentary this year. Wow. Number four for me is A Kid from Coney Island about Stephon Marbury, a basketball legend of the New York City streets, the playgrounds and the high school leagues. Went to Georgia Tech, became a lottery pick, played in the NBA, was an all-star, but had a reputation of being a bad teammate and then basically was ran out of the NBA and remade himself, redefined himself in China as both a basketball player and as a businessman. And now he's a legend in China. He's retired, but as far as I know, he still lives out there and runs his business empire out there, everything he's doing. And this movie, you know, I grew up a huge basketball fan. Not just fan, I played, I went to the camps, you know, I was all right, you know, not great, not horrible, but, you know, I could play a little. This movie, directed by Cootie Simmons and Chike Oza, who have teamed up on a bunch of things, some sports stuff before, does such a good job of imparting how much basketball, especially at that time, meant to New York City, and how much high school basketball means to New York City, the legends of it. And that cross-section of the 90s of New York hip-hop and New York high school basketball, they nail it. It's just great. They do a great job.
Wow. Yeah, I it sounds like it's a lot of fun. And like I like when you hear that story of someone who like goes and does like vastly different things that they could kind of track along with. That's definitely makes for an interesting documentary.
It really is. And, you know, this is, like I said, you know, usually these guys get run out of the league and they become like, you know, villains or whatnot. But and he was just doing things differently. Maybe it was misunderstood. It was never about his ability on the court. But yeah, they just got it right this one.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'll go on to my number three. And this is one I think a lot of people kind of just ignored because of everything surrounding the guy that it's basically about. It's Happy Happy Joy Joy, the Ren and Stimpy story, which, of course, right before it was set to be released, allegations came out about Ren and Stimpy's creator. I forget how to pronounce his name, John Kricfalusi, something like that. But, you know, a lot of shitty stuff. And they ended up addressing it in the documentary. They ended up going back and filming more and actually interviewing John himself and giving him kind of a platform to comment on the allegations, which is a very kind of risky thing to do, because I think that's why a lot of people just kind of swept this documentary aside and just didn't look at it. Because I think, especially for people in our age group, you know, we grew up with Ren and Stimpy, and it's just seriously one of the best cartoon shows ever. And also, like, watching this documentary, you kind of are reminded just how influential it was on so many of the weird cartoon shows that came since, everything in, like, the Adult Swim era and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, really, the subject matter is something we should all be kind of interested in. It's just this guy is unfortunately, you know, kind of a piece of shit. And he doesn't deny it at all in the segments with him. And I thought that was kind of interesting that he, you know, straight up faces the allegations, says, look, I, you know, I'm not proud of what I did. It is what it is. And they kind of just shine a light on him and let that be the ending of the documentary. And yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Not a lot of people are going to be able to accept that. But, you know, it is what it is. The show, Ren and Stimpy, is the best. And this documentary, digging into the making of that show and some of the best moments on the show and what went into creating some of that just weird, weird, weird stuff, is just fascinating. And I kind of feel like there really shouldn't be that big of a surprise that the main creative force that came up with this show, you know, had some demons, let's just say. So, yeah, it's a great documentary, though.
Okay, I got to watch that for sure. You know, I know it was not, I had seen previews, and then it just kind of never came out or disappeared, exactly, like you're saying.
Yeah.
I do, you know, you got to commend the filmmakers for, you know, sometimes you want all sides of the story, and
exactly,
you want it from the source. And I haven't seen it, and I'm certainly not defending him, but I think anyone who at least is willing to take responsibility for their actions, like, you got to at least give them that, you know.
Sure.
So you know, and that doesn't excuse the actions or anything else, but yeah, that sounds very interesting.
Very, very interesting. And they also show a clip of an unreleased Ren and Stimpy piece, and it's just so fucking funny.
Well, you think, you know, with all these kind of, you know, adult cartoons like that are out now, and all these like kind of 90s nostalgia shows coming back, like Ren and Stimpy, you know, I know they've talked about it. It seems like it would be ripe for a comeback.
Oh, yeah, so definitely. Not going to happen, though, unfortunately. But
yeah.
So what do you got for number three?
Number three, Dave, is my favorite music documentary of the year. And look, it's no secret I'm a Bruce Springsteen fan. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you don't have to be a Bruce Springsteen fan to know that his Thrill Hill team knocks these documentaries out of the park. Like, almost every one of them is a home run. And this is the making of Letter to You. It's called Letter to You. It's on Apple TV Plus at the moment. And it's fascinating because, again, Springsteen somehow is always just a little ahead of the time, it seems like, right?
Yeah.
So he brought the whole band to record, the whole E Street Band, for the first time since like maybe the late 70s, early 80s, to record together on Roy Bittan's suggestion, at his farmhouse, at his home studio in the great state of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to watch. One, the band record in this manner, because I think the E Street Band, who are as often known as the best bar band in the world, are like one of the few bands that are still capable of doing this and should be doing this. And I think you get some real cool glimpses into the process that way of like, hey, here's how you build on a song, as opposed to like, if everyone's going in solo, you know, you're just kind of laying down a part for something that's already kind of outlined for you, you know?
Sure.
So there's that creative synergy there. A lot of this is about Bruce and his time with his first band, the Castiles, and him being the last member who's still alive. So there's that. There's a lot of songs about mortality and what it means to get older. And he also took three songs from the 70s that were kind of like for, you know, big Springsteen fans. He remade them as like with the whole band, like, which he never really did. Like, they were always demoed, and they have such life to them and such vibrance. You're like, man, you could go back, because he has so many things that are unreleased from that time period, and just record that, and it would be amazing.
Sure.
You know? So he's such a great storyteller. He really gives you that insight of like the motivation, the inspiration on all this stuff. And there's some really exciting new songs on there, like Burning Train and, you know, Letter to You, Ghost, that stuff. Those are all big single stuff. So I love this one. And I would recommend all the Springsteen documentaries about the making of albums. But this one, I think, really, really another home run.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I do love the album, and I'm looking forward to watching it. And what was the last one again? His last album and concert thing?
Last one was Western Stars. I would say is, if you watch like any of like the Born to Run or Darkness or even the River documentaries, those are retrospect. That's Bruce telling the story of 20, 30 years later. Western Stars is kind of like him telling the stories of the songs as they exist.
Yeah.
And now this is kind of a mix. This is that next iteration where he's telling the stories of the songs as they're recording, but the life of the songs, and also this kind of meditation on what they mean in this beautiful imagery. So another black and white documentary on my list. Go watch it, Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to. I love that Western Stars one. So I'm definitely going to watch this. My number two is a movie I found out about from your awesome movie year co-host, Josh Bell. It's called The Ringmaster. And it is the Finnish version directed by Molly Dworsky and Dave Newberg. But it started off as a project from this Vegas filmmaker, Zachary Kapp, before it totally got out of hand on him. It's about this guy, Larry Lang, who makes onion rings. And Zach basically set out to make a documentary about him because he just wanted to make a documentary and he loved this guy's onion rings. And this guy basically tries to force a bigger story out of the documentary, whether or not Larry wants any of that to happen or even understands exactly what's happening. And this poor guy just gets this whole situation just kind of thrust upon him. And it really turns into this documentary about kind of the responsibilities of a documentary maker and who gets to make a documentary, which is something I've never really thought about until this movie. And like, who should be allowed to follow someone around with a camera and try to tell that person's story. And it's just absolutely fascinating. And it's very just kind of fucked up and dark at times, but also very funny and very just very what the fuck. And it's a really unique movie. Let's just say that.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to watch that. You have a really good list and it's very different than what I might've expected. So I really like that. I don't know how much you know, but I was working on this documentary for a while and ran into a couple of technical issues, but also like you're saying, like the subject of mine was, let's say, a very big celebrity in the 80s. And then she retired and now is mounting this comeback. And you could tell she's very careful about who she trusts. So just getting that ease with your subject is so important. And I agree with you. I can see how that would make for something interesting in The Ringmaster.
Yeah.
And I love onion rings.
There you go.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. What do you got? Number two.
Number two for me is Boys State, riveting political documentary that shows, sadly, the state of politics in America by looking at it through a lens of an event called there's Boys State and there's also Girls State. And it's I believe a sponsored event through whatever organizations. And it takes a bunch of teenagers in different states and puts them in political camps, the nationalists and the federalists in this one, which are basically conservatives versus liberals, you know. And they're allowed to vote on, you know, laws and referendums, and they're electing people. And this one takes place in Texas and follows really three main characters. Steven, who is a Latino. His mom comes from Mexico, I believe. And he is kind of this like very pure-hearted liberal who is willing to make compromises with people and stand on his own. And then you have the two political consultants. Steven's kind of campaign manager, this guy Renee, who's a bit larger than life, and he rubs some people the wrong way, but he seems to be having good intentions with how he wants to run his campaign. On the opposite side is Ben, who is not a person that I would ever want to spend political time with. He's a teenager. I'm not ripping on this guy, but he's super conservative. He loves those, kind of conservative playbook moves,
oh, yeah,
a lot of the Trumpian moves. And It's basically, can you win running a fair campaign versus playing dirty tricks? And, you know, these kids are so savvy with social media. They put up, you know, Instagram accounts and memes with all this stuff. And it's as it's like I said, riveting and incredibly depressing. And had the election gone another way this year, it'd be even more depressing. But highly recommend it, Boys State. I think they're working on a sequel to it. This is Jesse Moss and Amanda McBain. So highly recommend there.
Yeah, Boys State's one of my honorable mentions. Absolutely great. And we did a Bird Road crossover episode on it, actually, and had a guest, Elijah Manley, who was actually in the Boys State program a few years back. So he was able to shine a really interesting light on all that. So you can find that on the Bird Road podcast, or we also reposted it as a special episode of Piecing It Together. But yeah, great documentary. Very depressing, like you said, but very good still. So we haven't had any crossover so far.
I'm shocked.
I know,
so
but
maybe we'll.
I'm curious if our number ones are going to be the same here, because I happen to see your letterbox that you loved this movie. That is my number one. So I'm wondering if it might be the same one. My number one also is the only movie this year I gave 5 stars. So by that, I guess it's in a way my favorite movie of the year overall. It's Feels Good Man, from director Arthur Jones, about Pepe the Frog and its creator Matt Fury, and how this ridiculous little sweet cartoon was turned into a symbol of hate for the alt-right. And it's this just incredible, incredible story that's insane. It's baffling. It's horrifying. It looks at so many different worlds, including that of like independent artists, of the internet and trolling culture and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, to the logical conclusion of white power and hate groups and alt-right and all that stuff. And, of course, the rise of Trump as well. And yeah, it's just fascinating. And you just so feel for this poor guy, Matt Fury. But even though it's so damn dark and just so fucked up what happened to him, there's definitely a through story of hope, of this guy kind of taking back control of his own life and just continuing to be the artist that he really just set out to be in the first place, and trying to rewrite his own story in pushing forward. And so this movie is just, I think it's the movie of 2020.
I got to agree with you, Dave. My number one also, Feels Good Man. And like you said, it involves politics and technology and co-opting an image and changing the message on something. And, you know, really stuff that I didn't know about. Like, you know, I knew that the alt-right, there's a very good episode basically of the podcast Reply All that also deals with this subject matter. And that is a great podcast in general. I highly recommend it. I love the animation. This was another 93 minutes, and every minute counts on this one. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of the negatives because there are so many of them, but there is definitely a redemptive feel in that last third and him fighting back to get his image back. Yeah. And it's nuts. And these sometimes, because there's so much that has to be explained, it can get bogged down. But this was light and entertaining and interesting the whole way through.
Yeah.
So Arthur Jones, first time filmmaker, won emerging documentary filmmaker at Sundance this year.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Yeah, that absolutely deserved. And yeah, I hope everybody sees this movie, because aside from the main story being told, I think it also it really explains that whole internet subculture so well, and like, and how it works, how it grows, how it breeds. And that's such an important thing to understand moving forward in this country.
Yeah, real fast, Boys State won the grand jury prize for Sundance.
Okay.
In case you were wondering. But and it's interesting because those almost go together in a way, right?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
But yeah, this is the Feels Good Man, which is like a weird name until you watch it and then learn what it's about. And it's just a really, really great documentary. Really good stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Do you have some honorable mentions you want to kind of jump
Yeah,
into?
I guess we could do that instead of moments if you'd like to do that.
Yeah, I didn't do moments for the features I did, or I mean for the documentaries. I just did that for features. I just have honorable mentions here.
All right, let's go one and one. Sure. Go for it. You're up.
All right, so I'll do for my first one, Totally Under Control, which if you really wanted to sit there and be angry, that's a movie to watch because it tells the story of how the United States and especially the Trump administration botched their response to the coronavirus. And yeah, it's just horrifying and so angering.
I haven't watched it. I don't know if I can get through that because of how angry I would be.
Yeah.
That's Alex Gibney. I know he's worked with some other directors on that one. Alex Gibney is a human documentary machine who just puts out product after product. And I think I had at least one other one this year out there too.
Yeah.
What are you okay, talking about subject matters that will infuriate you, my first honorable mention goes to I Am Greta, Nathan Grossman, following Greta Thunberg around the world as she sails across Europe to the United Nations and has to yell at adults to actually be adults and do something about climate change. And it's horrifying that people don't listen to her and that people think it's all right to pick on a teenager with autism just because she wants to make the world a better place. But you do see some more, you know, if all you've heard of the sound bites, you see some other human sides to Greta. You see her dad is basically, you know, somewhat between a stay-at-home dad and a handler. Like, he goes with her everywhere. And what she's doing, she's like, she's one of my heroes, man. It's sad that it's come to that, but that's the truth, that we need these, the young, the teenagers, to do something, because none of us, none of our generations have ever handled it, and the generations above us are just fucking everything up. So yeah. I Am Greta.
I still haven't watched it, but yeah, I plan on it. And whether these people, these idiots on social media like it or not, I mean, people like her are the future, and they can see what needs to be done with this world. And so we really need to be paying attention to them.
It's very strange to me that you would try to insult any young person who's trying to make the world a better place, like the Parkland survivors of the mass shooting in that high school, you know. And it's gross, it's disgusting. So we need more Gretas out there, and that's kind of one of the beauty of it, is just to see how many people are around the world she's inspired. Yeah. So recommend.
Right on. Well,
watch it.
I will go for my next honorable mention with a movie I was really looking forward to. It didn't quite deliver, but I still really enjoyed it. It was called Dick Johnson Is Dead, directed by Kristen Johnson. And it's about this guy who is going to be dying eventually, like all of us. And so through like kind of movie magic and a little bit of dark humor, they set out to film the ways he might die. And it's an interesting concept, and I thought it would be a little funnier than that it ended up being, but it was still enjoyable, if not a little kind of all over the place as far as the story it was trying to tell. But like I said, still enjoyed it though.
The staging of the deaths really were almost like a red herring, a smokescreen, you know, a MacGuffin, whatever you want to call it, because it's really about what a sweet man this guy is, and
yeah,
you know, an able and smart therapist who raised a family, and now he's in his 80s and he's losing his memory. And it's very sad, but he still has high spirits and a family who loves him. And he's just doing his best to live his last years. And I think you're right. I agree with your critiques of it. Like, it's good, it's not great, but it's a good movie.
Okay. Well, what do you got for your last honorable mention?
Oh, my last one. I had so many more on here.
You can run them down after I'm done my last one.
All right. I will. So, okay, we are Freestyle Love Supreme. Lin-Manuel Miranda has made both my year-end lists. Good for you, sir. Once again, you have proven that whatever you do, you dominate, and you make the rest of us feel horrible about our adequate skills and anything else, right? This is a different, totally different thing. Lin-Manuel, along with everything else, is actually a pretty good freestyle rapper, and he has this group, Freestyle Love Supreme. And this traces the roots of that project which goes back to their college days in Wesleyan. And then they worked on it throughout In the Heights. And some of those members, Chris Jackson, David Diggs, are some of the guest stars on Freestyle Love Supreme. And one of the rappers who is of Indian descent is actually the first who was supposed to play Aaron Burr in Hamilton. And, you know, he couldn't because he had some alcohol issues at the time. But this really just showcases how creative these people are and how amazing they are. And this kind of really exciting, fun freestyle rap show that I would love to see. It was playing in Broadway before the pandemic hit. So hopefully they'll restart it afterwards. And Lin-Manuel, you're on fire, bro.
And he's got next year too with his delayed movie, In the Heights. So.
And I actually thought In the Heights was a better show than Hamilton. So.
Oh boy.
Who knows? So yeah. I have a Lin-Manuel Miranda joke I'm very excited to debut when I get back on stage.
Nice. So nice.
That'll be good. So yeah, if you want, I can just do a quick list of some other movies that I thought were great. And
yeah, I had Boys stayed on mine for my last one, which you already discussed. So yeah, what do you got?
Crip Camp, which is a lot of people's favorite this year, is a very cool documentary about people who have physical disabilities, and they kind of go to this hippie-ish camp in the 70s and just learn, spend time with other people with physical or maybe some other type of disabilities, mental disabilities, and they grow up together. They have romances and they joke and they do all these things. They're treated like normal, able-bodied people, as well they should be. And then this group goes on to change the world. It's amazing what they do. The reason that there are rights for people with physical disabilities are because of what this group did. And I'm not overstating it. They stormed the castle, so to speak, in California and did sit-ins for a week to make, or maybe longer, to make sure laws were changed. And bravo to them. So great movie. It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
The Ghost of Peter Sellers. I love movies about making movies. This is Peter Medak, who was an up-and-coming director and still worked. He had a very big career, like a very solid career, but he could have been maybe a huge director. And then in the 70s, he was making a pirate ship kind of period piece with Peter Sellers when Peter Sellers was at his most manic. And between the budget and the star, the whole thing sunk, shall we say, and in a way sunk this guy's career. But you see, you know, if you've seen Peter Sellers, you know he's a genius. But this is very unfortunate for Medak, but it's nice that he gets to tell his story now.
I thought that came out a couple of years ago, did it not?
It might have been one of those like banana split where it was like, hey, it was a 2018 but didn't hit
right.
You know, really availability till 2020.
Okay.
The last one I'll mention is The Painter and the Thief, a crazy story directed by Benjamin Ree about an artist named Barbara in Europe. And she has a show finally, and her piece of art is stolen. And the cameras are able to kind of find out who stole the picture. And his name's Carl, and she goes to his trial. And he goes to jail and she keeps visiting him in jail. And then they become good friends. And when he gets out of jail, they become like entangled in this relationship that's almost codependent. And I wonder, you know, I know where it left off, but I wonder what it is now, you know?
Sure.
Did it turn into something more? I think they're making a narrative version of this as well, but pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that one. That was going to be the next doc I watch before we got to this, but I never got a chance to. So I'm definitely looking forward to checking it out. I'll just say one other one to just throw on the list. We touched on it on our top 10 narratives episode, but we should mention it again. Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, which isn't really a documentary, but is going to, you know, and end up in many documentary talks for the year. It kind of rides this strange line between documentary and narrative film because it's all faked, but it's about the closing of a Las Vegas bar, although it's not really shot in Las Vegas, and all of just the people who inhabit the bar and the regulars there, and you just kind of spend all this time with them. And it's a really interesting movie. It probably would be my number six on this list. What did you think of it, like, as a documentary feature blended thing?
I didn't think anything of it as a documentary blended feature thing because it's not a documentary.
Well, yeah.
It was on my narrative list.
I know.
It's about a fake bar that's closing. And, you know, fake bar means fake patrons.
They're those calling it a documentary still. They're trying to get it away as a documentary. I mean,
it's not a documentary. It wouldn't make my list, but it did make my list of top 10 narrative films.
So there you go. All right. Well, I think that does it. I think this was fun, and hopefully in 2021 we'll be able to at least squeeze in a couple of documentary episodes in the traditional Piecing It Together format, because, you know, there's so many great documentaries every year. Definitely one's worth
talking
about.
Really, this is a golden age for documentaries right now because of all these all these streaming platforms, right? So, like, you know, the next three down on my list, one was like a Netflix miniseries, one was a BBC hour-long thing, and one was a WWE Network five-parter. So wow. There you go. You know, like, there's so many different ways you can tell stories now, and so many different outlets. And, you know, like City Hall, which is like a five-hour documentary, is on a lot of people's top 10 list this year.
Sure.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff out there, man.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap it up, why don't you tell people about what you got going on with Awesome Movie Year?
Awesome Movie Year is just finishing season 6, 1984. Lots of big, big movies that still resonate today. Ghostbusters, Karate Kid, Beverly Hills Cop, man. There's Gremlins, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of these are finding new life, and plenty of new life. We got some great special guests like Joe Esposito, who sang You're the Best Around, and some other guests like Eric Gladstone, who's not a great. No, I'm just kidding, Eric. He's a friend of mine, so I joke around. And then you got, by the time that season's over, we're moving back into this current century for season 7. Not releasing the year yet, but we got a lot of good stuff planned, Dave. Awesome Movie Year on Facebook and Instagram. Awesome Movie Pod on Twitter. AwesomeMovieYear.com.
Right on. And what about you yourself, Jason? Where can people find you?
Oh, I'm still at Jason Harris Comedy on Facebook and Instagram. J Harris Comedy on Twitter. GoForJason.com. Should get an upgrade in 2021.
Let's hope so. We should make a documentary about the upgrade of your website. That should be fun.
So far, it would be really boring.
I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ryan. And we're the hosts of Not My Type. One couple, two personalities, and we're taking 3 million internet quizzes.
Approximately. For non-serious conversations about serious fandoms, check us out at Not My Type. Each episode, we take BuzzFeed-style quizzes to explore a movie, TV series, or a book.
As many fandoms as we can get our hands on. New episodes come out each Wednesday. And if you want to find out more about the show, go to notmytypepod.com and anywhere podcasts are found.
Pretty much everywhere these days. See you there.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jason Harris about the top 5 documentaries of 2020. What did you think of our picks? If you think we left anything major out, get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. You can, of course, just tweet at us at PiecingPod or join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. Or you could also get in touch on our website, PiecingPod.com. Let us know what you think of the show. If you'd like to join me for a future episode, you know, I posted a tweet the week of New Year's saying that I'm looking for new co-hosts, and holy crap, did we get a lot of responses. So hopefully we'll be getting a lot of you on the show in the coming weeks and months and throughout the year. Lots of movies to cover, so I'm sure we'll find room for everybody. But if you are listening and you've thought, hey, you know, when I think of movies, I think of puzzle pieces, you should get in touch with me. So, yeah, let's talk. But yeah, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Make sure you're subscribed wherever it is you listen to podcasts and following us on social media at Piecing Pod and all that stuff. Also, don't forget to check out our Patreon, where we post bonus content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, as well as from my music career. So lots of great content there. And speaking of my music career, let's close this thing out with a piece of music like I always do. And I am going to go with something from my latest album, David Rosen. It's just a self-titled album, and it's one of my favorite things I've ever put out. And I am going to go with the song, the opening track. It's called Creation. And yeah, let's play this track. It's called Creation. It's from my new album, David Rosen, which is available for sale on Bandcamp and iTunes and all those services, but also for streaming on Spotify and Apple Music and all that as well. So this is Creation. Enjoy it. And we'll be back. We got one more special Looking Back at 2020 episode coming up, and then a whole lot of new movies to cover. So lots of Piecing It Together coming your way.
And all points west.